couple of different readings I want us to turn to this morning. The first one is in Romans chapter 8, and then our second will be in Isaiah chapter 26. Romans chapter 8, the first reading. We're reading from verse 28 of it. So Romans 8, verse 28, and then Isaiah 26, if you want to keep your finger in it also. Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is it? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed for all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if you turn over now, please, to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, we'll read the first 11 verses of this chapter together. Isaiah chapter 26, beginning at verse 1, it says, in that day shall a song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stead on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground, he bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of the judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favour be showed to the wicked. Yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see, and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Amen. We trust the Lord will bless this reading of his precious word this morning. In the last few days, many different measures have been opposed right across our land. Those measures have been imposed to try and deal with the outbreak of the coronavirus. There are some extreme measures, and only time will tell of the success and maybe even the benefit of them. We have some of those measures even in place here this morning. Now, these are the extreme measures, and say we don't know fully how beneficial they are. Then there's some more basic measures, which every one of us should already be following anyway. The washing of hands, the sensible distance, not coughing and sneezing over the top of people. Sensible things that we should be doing anyway. And as a church, we encourage you to follow those measures, and as a church, we are implementing some of those measures as well, let's say with the seating, the space, and the collection, and the hymns, and all so forth. All these things, these aren't things out of something I dreamt up, things that I wanted to do, but these are things because of what the government and our presbytery would guide us at this time. Now, regardless of what you think about the severity of this virus, we must follow these guidelines. We must look out not just for ourselves, but others. We are commanded in God's word to love our neighbours. And therefore, we should be doing everything we can, even if we think it might be silly, might be foolish. We should do everything we can to try and protect the most vulnerable in our society. But on top of those guidelines, top of those things which would help us to control the effects of this outbreak, I want us this morning to consider another method. Another method that would help us contain the effects of the virus. And that method is a biblical perspective. Now, of course, a right perspective cannot control the biological effects of the virus. Now, I can't tell you, well, if you read your Bible, if you pray, if you come all to the churches, you're honoring God, and therefore nothing's going to happen to you. I'm not saying that this morning. We have to be sensible. We have to take sensible precautions. But I want you to see that a right perspective on everything that's going on with this virus, it can't control the medical effects, but certainly can help us control the psychological effects, the fear, the care, the panic, the anxiety. That's spreading greater than the virus is. And what is the real cause of this? Well, I have to say, you think I'm hammering them a lot, lady. It's the media. The media are reporting the way they report it. They report all the negative. They report the doom and the gloom. They don't report any of the positive. And therefore, we're all getting panicked and worried and anxious about all these things. I want to stress to you this morning, this is not a time for mass hysteria. That is exactly, however, what is occurring. It's occurring not just in the ungodly, but it's occurring nearly across all walks of life. Now, while we ought to follow the guidelines that the experts suggest, we must at the same time have a right perspective on this whole outbreak. Now, I had lots of statistics I was going to share, and I'm not going to share them all. Just let me share a few with you. Now, the first one is that over 80% who experience the coronavirus or COVID-19 or whatever you want to name it this morning, over 80% will experience, now these are of the 80% who get it. Of 80% of the people who get this virus, they will suffer nothing more than what is similar to very mild flu symptoms. Of those who are diagnosed, who have been diagnosed already, over 60% have already made a full recovery. Or to put it in other words, that's to say, there is more people who have recovered from coronavirus than actually have it at this time. Now, up until yesterday, I say, stats, they change, and with the outbreak with the way it is now in Spain, obviously these figures will probably change. But up until the great increase in Spain, 95% of the deaths from coronavirus had either occurred in China or Italy. Let me also say that there will be more people who will die today from rabies than will die from the coronavirus. Yet, there is not the hysteria about that. Now, there's many more statistics I could give, but the reason I give these statistics is not to make you belittle this outbreak, to not take it seriously, but why I give those statistics is to show you that we can have a different perspective. We don't have to follow the doom and the gloom. There is a good side. There is a positive that's coming out of this at the same time. We can have a better perspective, even just in looking at these statistics. But as Christians, we don't need to just look at statistics, but we as Christians are to have a biblical perspective, an even greater, an even higher perspective on all which is going on at this time. Now, on Wednesday night, I started a short series in the book of Habakkuk, a book which I believe gives us a very good biblical perspective on dealing with times of turmoil. On Wednesday night, we saw there was a man who was praying for God to move, and he wasn't a word, why aren't you answering my prayers? God, you're doing nothing. God did answer his prayers, and God's answer to his prayer was to send the Chaldean nation upon the land. Well, God is not doing nothing. God does answer, and he may not answer the way that we expect, and therefore there was great lessons in that, even in that introductory study for us as we would deal with the coronavirus. Many of you will not be there. Never, I don't want you to miss out on the encouragement and the biblical rational, the biblical perspective that we should have on this virus. We need to have a biblical perspective. Never, these considerations this morning are to aid in that. Now, these considerations are not just for times, are not applying it to the coronavirus. Of course, that is what's in everybody's mind at this time. This is man's greatest fear at this moment upon this earth. But there's other trials. There's other troubles. There's other turmoils that you might be facing in your life at this moment. And therefore, our thoughts today are every bit as applicable to them. To overcome those trials, those troubles, those turmoils, we must have a biblical perspective. One of the greatest reasons I believe man is so anxious and worried about this coronavirus is the lack of control. Like, we've made measures, but they're not foolproof. There's only so much that we can do. It cannot be controlled. It can be slowed down, as many nations are trying to do, and many nations are going about things different way, and there's so many armchair experts can say that nation's doing it wrong and this one's doing it right. I don't know when so many became medical experts, but that seems to be what they are. But every nation, no matter what way they're doing it, they're trying to they can't control it, but they're at least trying to delay it. They're trying to restrict it in some way. But the reality is, man cannot control this. And because man cannot control it, that is why so many is worrying and so many are anxious at this time. But if we would keep our eyes not on that which man can't control, but keep our eyes upon our God, keep our eyes on what God's word tells us, instead of being overwhelmed by that which we can't control, we'll have a right perspective. Never this morning I want us to look at three different things that I believe we should be keeping our eyes on if we're to have a right biblical perspective in the midst of this pandemic. See, there's another word. A few days ago, the World Health Organization declared it a pandemic, and the world went into chaos. What does even the word pandemic mean? Well, they didn't know. It's just a lot scary word. Simply meant that it's a disease which is now considered to be covering the world. It means a serious disease. It doesn't talk about the seriousness of these. It just talks about how widespread it is. Let us have a biblical perspective. What should we keep our eyes on to have such a biblical perspective even at this time? Well, the obvious one and the first thing I want us to see is we must keep our eyes upon our God. Let's keep our eyes upon God. To have a proper biblical perspective of everything that is going on in our land, let us keep our eyes upon God. Now, as we consider keeping our eyes upon God, there's two reasons why doing so will give us a greater perspective, will give us a peace. The first reason that we should keep our eyes upon God and not in man and not in anything else, it's the simple reason God is in control. God is in control. If you take nothing else, take that. God is in control. God is sovereign. God has not been taken by surprise, as I said on Wednesday night. God is in control of every last thing. As I say, one of the greatest reasons that so many are anxious and full of worry and care at this time is the whole situation is outside of their control. Well, we can make precautions. The enemy takes one each to come in and cough all over you. You can't control what other people do. We can only control what we do. So even in precautions, we're still not in control. There's so much is outside of our control. But we like to be in control of our lives. But when things go out of control, that's when panic and fear sets in. But if we keep our eyes upon God, we have our eyes upon one who is in control of every last detail. Nothing happens outside of his control. You see, we have to realize God is in control of the very thing that man is battling and fighting to control at this time. God is in control. And if we keep God and his control over us and over all at the forefront of our minds, we can have a peace in the midst of the storm. Our proof of this morning is Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Well, instead of being full of fear of the unknown, instead of becoming frightened by all the reports and stories which everyone seems to be obsessed with at this time, we can have a peace. Because instead of listening to the hypothetical scenarios of what might happen, we rest in one who knows the beginning from the end. We rest in the one who knows what's going to happen because he has ordained it. He is in control. The one who is in control is God. He is Jehovah, as these verses remind us. And he is the one who can be trusted. We're called to trust him. Having our mind looking to God means to trust in him. Keep your focus. Keep your trust in him. Trust in him. That's the command of this verse. Trust, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Note those words, forever. Oh, it's easy maybe to trust in the Lord when things are going well, but what about now? The verse says, trust ye in the Lord forever. And if we trust in the Lord forever, what does he give us? What will we have? Thou will keep him in perfect peace. That's what we should have at this time. Instead of being full of fear and worry and doom and gloom, let us have a perfect peace by trusting in our God. He is in control. That is a perfect peace. Peace. It's not some momentary peace. It's not some illusion of peace which is dashed by the latest news reports of the coronavirus. It's a perfect peace. It's a true peace. It's a lasting peace. It's a real peace. And we can only have that peace. How can we have that peace in the midst of all that surrounds us? By keeping our minds on God. Oh, keep every unknown and every worry in perspective, remembering God is in complete control. Now, we can't understand it. In Romans 8, we began our reading, and it tells us that God is in control of all things, that all things worketh together for good. We're not looking at that verse today. But this is, again, it's a perfect reminder. God, we don't understand, but yet everything, even the worst things, even the evils of this world, God worketh them together for good. Well, let us keep all these unknowns in perspective. God is in control. As I said already, these truths should not just apply to COVID-19, that which is worrying so many at this time. But whatever your concern, whatever your fear is in your life at this time, or whatever you might face in the future, keep your mind stead upon Jehovah. For if you do, you can be at peace. The peace that passeth all understanding. God is in control. God is sovereign. Trust in him and be at perfect peace. Keep your eyes on him because he is in control. So you have me also that we should keep our eyes upon him because he is our Savior. Not only is God in control, but God is our Savior. And if you turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 12. Just one verse in Hebrews chapter 12 I want you to look at with me at this time. To remind you that it is our Savior that we're keeping our eyes upon. We're not keeping our eyes on some abstract being. We're not keeping our eyes on some abstract force. But the one that we're keeping our eyes upon is the one who has saved us from our sin by his shed blood. Hebrews 12. Now, as we look at these verses, let's turn to this portion. I want to remind you that in all circumstances in life, the Christian is something that no one else has. The Christian has a knowledge they are saved. And therefore, surely that's our greatest perspective to have. The Christian has a Savior. Hebrews 12 and the verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. My point, or the sub-point, I suppose, is that we are to keep our eyes upon our Savior. Could my point be made any clearer than the words of verse 2? Who is it that we're to keep our eyes upon? It says, looking unto Jesus. That's what we need to be looking at on today. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto the one who shed his blood and died for us. Looking unto him because he is our Savior. Or as the verse puts us, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Christ as our Savior is our perspective for every trial, for every care, and for every worry. Never forget you have a God who has saved you. Never forget the author and finisher of your faith. That surely shall be our perspective of all things. What matter does this happen or that happen? Why those things doesn't matter. We're still saved. We still have a Savior. The faith. Author of our faith. Maybe that's the very problem at this time with you. Your problem is you're taking your eyes off Christ, and therefore you don't have the much needed faith at this time. Oh, he's your author of your faith, but you wander from him, ever you're lacking faith. Oh, would you turn your eyes upon Christ again? May your faith be in him. Or maybe the situation is far worse for you this day. It's not because that you're lacking faith because you've wandered, it's just because he's not the author of your faith. You have no faith in him. He is not your Savior. And therefore, is it any wonder that you're fearing today? I tell you, you have much to fear today if you're not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you trusting in? Well, you're putting your faith in man. And that is what you're putting your faith in. If you're putting your faith in Leo Varadkar or the chief medical advisors or in any politician, in any doctor, in any man, and even in yourself to be able to control this virus, you have much to fear. You have much to worry. But my faith's not in any of those things. Not that I'm belittling them in any way, but my faith, my trust is in the Lord. Yes, follow the guidelines. But keep your focus on your Savior. And if you're not trusting in Christ, oh, you have much to fear. But if you are saved today, if you are a child of God, what have we to fear? What have we to fear if we know we have a Savior? Oh, that those unsaved will turn their eyes upon him. Trust in him not only to be in control of this virus, but trust in him for their salvation. Trust in their salvation of their never dying soul. Would you do that today if you are unsaved? Oh, fear no longer, but come to Christ. See this morning that he's not only the author, he's also the finisher of the faith according to this verse. He's the author of our faith, but the finisher. And that word finisher, it brings us to the idea of that there's bringing our salvation to an end. That it's going to be brought to a full conclusion. The author and finisher of our faith. And that brings us to our second point this morning. We are to keep our eyes upon our God. But may we also keep our eyes upon our Savior, or upon our security. We are secure. We have an author and a finisher to our faith. And in a moment's time, we'll turn to Romans chapter 8 to be reminded of that. But if you turn with me quickly, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Here we have the Apostle Paul. Here we have the Apostle Paul. Man, he suffered so much. We think of the Apostle Paul and we think that he didn't go through the coronavirus. He didn't have to face what we are facing. I believe the Apostle Paul suffered far more than any of us will ever face in this life. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and the verse 24. 2 Corinthians 11 and the verse 24. It says there, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watches often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, and often in cold and nakedness. Beside these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He had all the physical worries, all the physical suffering, all the physical needs. And then he says, but then there's the mental worries. I'm caring for the churches and think of the struggles I have there, he's saying. He says, who is weak? And I am not weak. I'm like everybody else. I suffer like they suffer. Who is offended and I burn not. He said, with them I suffer. I enter into their sufferings. If I must needs glory, I will glory of these things which concern mine infirmities. Can anybody dare to say that the Apostle Paul didn't suffer? What an exhaustive list of things that he suffered. Yet, he did not succumb to those sufferings, but he rested instead upon his Savior. He kept his eyes fixed upon Christ, and he kept his eyes fixed upon his security. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and the verses... Well, I need to read really verse 35, I suppose is a key verse. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? There's an exhaustive list of things he says. What's going to separate me from my Savior? What's going to separate me from my salvation? None of those things. But then into verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I was to say his list of troubles and sufferings were exhaustive. But here so is his list of things that couldn't separate him from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had all his sufferings in perspective. Famine can't separate him from the love of Christ. Shipwreck couldn't separate him from the love of Christ. Disease couldn't separate him from the love of Christ. What people said about him couldn't separate him from the love of Christ. Nothing that he could face was going to separate him from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was secure in the hand of God. And that's what we must keep in mind. If you are saved today, keep all that's going on in our land at this time in perspective. Whatever it may do, regardless of how serious or not so serious as it may turn out to be, whatever it turns out, let us keep our eyes upon the fact that regardless, it will never separate us from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. By focusing on these things, no doubt we can have a proper perspective. We are held secure by the Lord. Nothing can take that from us. See, why are so many full of fear at this time? As I say, yes, because this virus seems to be that it can't be controlled. But why is that worrying so many? It's because, well, it's not just that they get sick. As I say, there's many who will get sick, but sickness is, say, no worse than a flu. So it's not really this getting sick that's worrying them. It's the chance that they might be in that very small percentage who will die. But why? Why do they fear death? It's because man knows what cometh after death. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And if man was honest with themselves, that's what's really worrying them. They know if this virus, or they may say, oh yes, they look at the statistics, maybe the guy look at them and look for the positive, and they say, yes, it's only a very small percentage, and it's only of those with very serious health conditions, it's not going to come to me. But yet in their heart, there's still a worry, there's still a fear. Why? Because they know if they die, they are without a Savior. They know they are without Christ. And I wonder, is that the position you are find yourself in today? Can you rest in the security of a Savior? Or are you out of Christ, without a Savior, with no hope, no refuge? Now, oh, I ask you therefore to come. Come to the one who will not give you comfort, knowing that your sins can be forgiven. You can have peace. You can be saved. Oh, this fear of this disease, maybe it's full in you with fear. This disease, it's petrified. You're petrified because I don't know how it's affecting you. Well, let's say there's a greater disease, and that is your sin. As I say, so many, very few of us will get this. I say that, you can prove me wrong, but I say very few of us will get this, and of those who do, it won't be that serious. Yet there is a disease of sin. And if it is not dealt with, it will kill every single one. That's the disease you need to be worrying about today. Come to Christ. Seek His forgiveness. Repent of your sin and He will make you clean and acceptable in His sight. Oh, we can have a peace. We can have a peace knowing we are saved. With King David we can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will not fear. I will not be afraid. Why? For Thou art with me. Secure. He keeps us safe. That's what the psalmist is talking about. Even to go through the shadow up there, even through something so dark, so frightening, I have no reason to fear because you are with me. You have kept me and you will keep me. We is our security. We keep our eyes upon our God, keep our eyes upon our security. Very quickly, I want you to see with me that we should also keep our eyes on our eternal home. Our eternal home. Romans 8 and the verse 18. Romans 8 verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to compare with the glory which shall be revealed in us. See, this man suffered much. You can't say, oh, well, maybe his sufferings weren't that bad. But we read there in Corinthians how bad his sufferings were, all the things that he suffered. Yet he said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's a heavenward perspective. Such a perspective gave him the ability to deal with all the suffering. Whatever he faced, he didn't care because it was nothing in comparison to the glory of heaven. Now, somebody might say, oh, that's been very morbid. You're telling us it's not going to affect us as bad. Now you're telling us to consider heaven. Now, I don't believe it's being morbid. Paul wasn't a morbid man. It's not being morbid. As I say, I trust and I believe this isn't going to kill any of us. Chance of any of us dying to coronavirus is very, very low. Yet at the same time, regardless, let us keep our eyes upon what we're certain of. And that is that we've got a home in heaven. Regardless of what may come our way, if we are saved, we have a home in heaven. And in that place of heaven, all the time, I'm fed up of hearing about this. I honestly am. And I'm glad that there's coming a day, I'm going to be a place where there'll be no talk of disease, there'll be no talk of sickness, there'll be no talk of pain, there'll be no talk of sin. There'll be no fear of any of these things, because they will not be there. I believe, I trust that place is promised to me because I'm trusting in Christ. So whatever worries you at this time, get it all in perspective. Get it into this perspective. But then, again, I must ask you, have you that hope? Have you that comfort of knowing that when this life is over, you're going to a place of peace? Again, I urge you, come to Christ, accept Him as your Savior this day, and He will save you, and He will give you that peace. You can be sure of heaven instead of the certainty of hell. Come to Christ, and He will save you. You can have this comfort, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So in closing, what advice do I give? First, I say, wash your hands. Second, I say, read your Bible and pray. Keep your eyes upon your God. Oh, we cannot, fully control the physical side of it, but let us do what we can. Let us rejoice that we can do some practical things, but let us rejoice that we can have a biblical perspective and a peace in the midst of the storm. May the Lord bless these thoughts to our hearts this morning. I'm going to ask you to please sing with me a closing hymn. Hopefully this thing will come back on. Oh, we better be fast. There we go. And peace like a river tendeth my way when sorrow sticks sea billows roll. Whatever my lot that has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Let us stand together, please, as we sing this unto the Lord. Father and eternal God, I pray that it is well with the soul of each one in this place this day. O Lord, that Thou would speak. That, Lord, Thou would convict. O Lord, I pray that Thou would give a fear. Thou would give a panic. Thou would give an anxiety to those who know not Christ. And, Lord, may that anxiety, may that fear last until they be found at Thy feet. O Lord, save and give mercy. Encourage Thy children. Let us, Lord, help us, Lord, to keep our eyes upon Thee. O Lord, may our eyes be fixed upon Jehovah. May our eyes be fixed upon our Savior, the one who has saved us, the one who will keep us, the one who will bring us home. O Lord, keep Your hand upon us. Bring us back again to Thy house this evening. O Lord, help us and undertake for us. For we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And I thank David for helping me this morning. Been landed in it. Thank you, David.